Today on Focal Point, from Pastor Mike Fabares.
Do not be surprised at the fiery trial when it comes upon you, as though some strange thing were happening to you. But here it is, verse 13. But rejoice insofar as you share in Christ's suffering. And guess what Christ suffered? He suffered the pain of betrayal. And guess what? You're going to suffer the pain of betrayal, and you should rejoice.
If you've ever been betrayed by someone you trusted, you know the experience can leave deep emotional scars. It's a unique kind of pain. So how do we move forward and begin to heal from these wounds? Well, Pastor Mike Fabares addresses these important questions today on Focal Point as he continues a study in the Psalms called Israel's Greatest Hits, Volume 2. Now, if you missed any previous messages, you can find them at focalpointradio.org. But now let's dive into Psalm 55.
Jesus had his Judas, and you're going to have yours, a betrayer, someone that you trust in that proved to not be trustworthy, someone who was your friend that became your enemy. I mean, everyone's going to experience that at some level, and it is helpful for us to think about, how is that rightly handled? How do we respond to that? Jesus had his Judas. And David certainly had his Ahithophel, among others, who, if you remember, was one of his trusted advisors in his cabinet. He relied on him, relied on his counsel, trusted him as a friend and a counselor. And yet in the midst of that coup d'etat that was foisted by his son Absalom, you had Ahithophel defect. Now, it doesn't say explicitly in the passage that I want you to look at if we're talking about Ahithophel, but it certainly fits the pattern, and that is, we know that David is suffering in Psalm 55 the pain of betrayal. There's a lot of pain you'll experience, a lot of pain of exterior opposition, a lot of pain of physical suffering, a lot of pain of illness, a lot of pain of even bereavement of those that you've lost. But there's something about the pain of betrayal that is so tough. And so in this passage, I'd like to give you some perspective and some hope and even a template of how you might rightly respond to it. Even as we saw Jesus rightly respond to his Judas, how does David respond to his betrayer, and how would God have you respond to those that have and maybe are currently betraying you? So with that in view, I want you to look at verse 1. And as the outline shows you, if you got your outline out of your worship packet this morning, you'll see I've grouped together verse 1 and 17, which is really simply a way to look at two texts that remind us what this whole thing is. The whole thing is a prayer. I mean, I know it's a song and it's a set of lyrics, but it's a prayer. And he's saying this, verse 1, give ear to my prayer, O God, and hide not yourself from my plea for mercy. Help me in this. I'm hurting. Verse 17, how often is he praying this prayer? Verse 17, evening and morning and at noon, I utter my complaint and moan, and he hears my voice. David is praying to God about this problem. That's the right place to go. If you're taking notes, I wish that you would. Verse number 1 on your worksheet there. When you're betrayed, you need to direct your complaint to God. That's where God would have you go. Do it respectfully, but bring your complaint to him. Morning, noon, night, bring it to him all the time. Talk to him. Because there's a lot of trouble when we don't bring it to him, and we're tempted as we are, just as human beings, to take it to everyone else. And I'm just going to say, let's not have you be sharing the complaint with each other. Now, is that an absolute statement? There's times, of course, to talk about your pain, ask for prayer, to say, I'm going through this trial, I'm being sued at work, I had someone, you know, who betrayed me, fine. But I'm talking about you uttering that complaint, the pain of your complaint, and the slander that often results when I'm talking about the Ahithophel or the Judas in my life. Bring your complaint to God. Verses 2 through 8. Back to our psalm, Psalm 55, he starts dumping now and just revealing the pain. Attend to me, God. Answer me. I'm restless in my complaint and I moan. There's a word to highlight. This is painful. because of the noise of the enemy, because of the oppression of the wicked. And if this is Ahithophel, certainly Ahithophel and his turning, along with everyone else who defected in that scene, they caused a great uproar. The city turned on them. People that should have been loyal to David now were loyal to Absalom. These people have dropped trouble on me. In anger, they bear a grudge against me. What does that feel like? Verse 4, in my heart is, here's another word. I made you highlight moan. Here's another one. In anguish, there's a word to highlight. My heart is in anguish within me. That's a big word. How about this word? The terrors of death have fallen upon me. Moan, verse 2. Verse 4, anguish and terrors. Here's some more words. Verse 5, fear and trembling have come upon me, and horror overwhelms me. Moaning, anguish, terror, fear, trembling, horror. What's the response to that? Well, anyone in their right mind feels this way. Verse 6, oh, that I had wings like a dove. I would fly away and be at rest. Yes, I would wander far away. I would lodge in the wilderness. And then there's that word Selah, which we've talked about before. I would hurry to find a shelter from the raging wind and the tempest. I mean, who hadn't thought that? Get me out of here. But look at those words again. Moan, verse 2. Anguish, verse 4. Terror, fear, verse 5. Trembling, verse 5. Horror, I just want to get out. Painful. When you're betrayed, you're going to feel bad. When you're hurting, and you're so shocked and so alarmed and so surprised, I'm thinking, have I not told you? Has Scripture not been clear? What did you expect? In a fallen world with fallen people. Number 2 on your outline, put it this way. We've just highlighted a lot of words. Do not be surprised by the pain. Don't be surprised by the pain. 1 Peter 4:12. Do not be surprised at the fiery trial when it comes upon you, as though some strange thing were happening to you. But here it is, verse 13. But rejoice insofar as you share in Christ's suffering. And guess what Christ suffered? He suffered the pain of betrayal. And guess what? You're going to suffer the pain of betrayal, and you should rejoice. Hey, I got my Judas. Finally, you got your Judas? I got mine too last year. Well, rejoice insofar as this is exactly what happened to Christ. Why was there a Judas? I don't know. I think because it's one of the most profound pains we can experience. And Jesus said, I'll go through that too. And rejoice that you share in the same kind of suffering that he experience. Now, non-Christians can't handle this. Non-Christians, when you share the gospel with them, and I know sometimes just nothing but a smokescreen, and it's just, but for some people, there's some truth to this and sincerity to it. They say this, I am not going to become a Christian because, you know, there's so many hypocrites in your church, and they can't handle it. Let me invert this. Hey, Christian, you need to handle it. You need to handle it. You need to handle the hypocrite. What does that mean? You need to be able to live with the pain of the hypocrites in your life. Suck it up. Take up your cross. There's the Mike Fabara's paraphrase version of the Bible. And follow Christ. He suffered through his Judas. You've got to suffer through your Judas. Matter of fact, the night before, the betrayer would succeed in having him crucified. The night he was betrayed. It was the night this was all going down and the betrayer was going to betray. He was at dinner, having dinner with the betrayer. Not only that, it started with him doing this thing we talked about recently in one of these Psalms, washing his feet. Now, not only am I going to skip washing the feet of my betrayer, if I've got the knowledge that Jesus has, man, I'm going to say, hey, you know what? You meet at Tony Pepperoni. I'm going to meet at Mod Pizza. I mean, I'm going to just have you eat somewhere else that night. I'm not interested in sharing a meal with you. I'm certainly not interested in washing your feet. And Jesus, with all knowledge, sat there and graciously and kindly washed the feet of his betrayer. And there's people in your life that you need to demonstrate the same thing toward. Does it mean I'm not angry? No, I'm angry. Does it mean that I don't want it changed? I want it changed. But it means that in my heart, I realize I'm reflecting this incredible sense of love, which is my commitment to your well-being, even when you are committed to my downfall. Think of the kindness of Christ toward you so that you might be able to be kind toward your betrayer. He says there in those verses, I want to fly away. If I had wings and I could be like a dove, I'd just get out of here. I'd be at rest. I'd fly. I'd wander far away. I'd find some place in the middle of nowhere. I'd get out of it all. Non-Christians can't handle, at least theoretically, being a part of our band because they can look at the Christian plumber or the Christian guy at the church and they're hypocrites and they're betrayers. Great. I get that. David has got to handle his Ahithophel. And I don't know if you've ever been to the place that surely David was tempted to be at as he is here. Oh, that I had wings to fly away. Here's what God needed. Needed David to go through the difficulty of being betrayed and then to get him back on the throne in Jerusalem to continue his leadership. He wanted to fly away, and I'm thinking, if I'm David, I'm done. Matter of fact, I've been there. Don't ask me too many questions. I've been there. I want to be done when I'm betrayed. I don't want anything else to do with this. But God says, I need you back in the game. For those of you that are done with people and done with relationships and done with trusting people and done because you have been betrayed, that's not the perspective of King David. He wants to fly away. That's not a bad desire. But he's willing to sit down and finish the work. And God's got you here in this world to finish the work. When you're betrayed, don't be surprised by the pain. Don't be derailed by the pain. Don't despair because of the pain. Don't let the pain turn into you quitting. Well, what do I do? Well, we've seen it. This is a prayer. A prayer for what? Well, you want to put it in good words? Drop down to verse 22. Cast your burden on the Lord. Does that look good? That is good. Oh, what a privilege to carry everything to God in prayer. Oh, what peace we often forfeit. Now, that's great. That sounds great. And that's going to make a framed plaque in the bookstore. But what does that mean in context? Well, I'm glad you asked. Let's pick it up where we left off. Verse 9. Destroy, O Lord, and divide their tongues. Why? Because look at the mess they've caused. They see violence in the city and strife in the city. Day and night they go around in its walls, and iniquity and trouble are within it. Ruin is in its midst. Oppression and fraud do not depart from its marketplace. Why? Because I had someone I trusted in. It wasn't an enemy who's taunting me. Then I could bear it. It's not an adversary who deals insolent with me. Man, then I could hide. But it's a friend. It's a man. It's a companion of mine, a familiar friend. We used to take sweet counsel together. Within the house of God, we walked in the throng. What do I want to happen? Verse 15, you want to cast your burden on the Lord. Here it comes. Let death steal over them. Let them go down to Sheol, the grave, alive. For evil is in their dwelling place and in their heart. But I call to God, and the Lord will save me. Praying all the time, evening and morning and noon, I utter my complaint and I moan, and he hears my voice. He redeems my soul in safety from the battle that I wage, for many are arrayed against me. God will hear, and it's nicely put here too, and humble them. What does that mean? Destroy them. Divide their tongues. What does that mean? Confuse their conspiracies. Kill them, verse 15. I mean, that's harsh stuff. Humble them. He was enthroned of old because they do not change and do not fear God. Because they do not change and they do not fear God. Because they do not change and do not fear God. Why is he resorting to imprecatory psalms, right? These lyrics of get them. Judge them? Well, because of this. They do not change and they do not fear God. My companion stretched out his hand against his friends. He violated his covenant. His speech was smooth as butter, yet war was in his heart. His words were softer than oil. They were drawn swords. So now he says to them what he's doing in his own heart. Cast your burden on the Lord. When this happens to you, people, trust in Yahweh. He will sustain you. He will never permit the righteous to be moved. Well, he's been moved out of town. And yet, God's going to be with him. You, O God, will, hear it again, cast them down into pits of destruction. Men of blood and treachery shall not live out half of their days, but I will trust in you. Now, all of this is very interesting because it seems like he's a vengeful, angry, balled up, wanting to get revenge kind of guy. Remember the context. What's the context? It's a prayer. It's a prayer. He's praying to God. He's not conspiring with Abishai or Joab saying, let's go get him. He's not complaining. He's trusting and praying that God will take care of the problem. Number three, when you're betrayed, put it this way, leave the vengeance to God. Not a bad thing. to first pray what I think you should graciously pray, and that is what we said, what I repeated multiple times in verse number 19. Pray that they change and pray that they would learn to fear God. But there's nothing wrong with us recognizing that there are times in our praying that because we want the treachery, the insolence, the betrayal to stop, we want it to stop one way or the other, either by repentance, by them changing and fearing God, or by God, would you just judge them? I got to be careful with that, but he's being very honest in this passage. Morning, noon, and night, I utter my complaint and moan. I'm giving you license to tell God your complaint. All the time, tell him your complaint. Just shut your mouth when you're speaking to other people. And when you share with God, I know you're going to share, God, change their heart, change their heart, change their heart. Let them fear you. Let them see the wrong that they're doing. Your task is to do the right thing. And your task is to do, even in your prayer life, to say, God, I need you to take care of this. I'm not taking justice into my own hands. When David was wandering around between that period of time, 12 plus years, between being anointed by Samuel as the king and having Saul reigning, and he's a fugitive running all through the countryside. Eventually, the men of Benjamin and Judah came to David, to his stronghold, the locals there in the south, and they came to him and they said, hey, we want to join your band. And it says in 1 Chronicles chapter 12, it says that David has this perspective, and he says it. When these people went out to meet him, he's not sure who to trust. He says this, if you've come in friendship to help me, then my heart's going to be joined to you. I'm with you. But if you betray me to my adversaries, although there's no wrong in my hands, if you betray me without cause, then may the God of our fathers see and rebuke you and deal with you. Now, I don't know if that's a good way for you to start your friendships with people, to say that. But it's not a bad way to think about it, particularly if you've been burned in the past. To say to God, God, here's the thing. When I get overtures of loyalty and friendship, my heart's going to be with you. But here's the thing. If you turn on me, I'm going to trust God to take care of you. The Lord will see, the eyes of the Lord in every place, watching the evil and the good. And I'm going to trust. I'm not going to let my life be overcome by evil. Even if it happens again, I'm going to overcome evil with good, which means I'm going to pray. I'm not going to be demoralized by the pain. And I'm going to say to God, God, you got to deal with these people. The Bible says some great things about how God feels about his children. And I don't mean to sentimentalize God, but there are some passages that certainly show us his care is so compassionate. In Deuteronomy chapter 32, it talks about the people of God being the lens of someone's eye. Remember the old phrase, the apple of the eye? I never knew what that meant as a kid. I heard it all the time, but it means your eye, the part, this very sensitive part of your eye. And it talks about being in a howling desert, a windstorm, a dust storm. And it talks about God will shield you, protect you, like the apple of his eye. And you can see that in an ancient Near Eastern picture with the head scarves and all that, covering the eyes in the midst of a windstorm. He found you in a desert land, in a howling waste, in a wilderness. He encircled you. He cared for you. He kept you as the apple of his eye. All I'm saying is this. God takes the betrayal in your life personally. It doesn't mean he's not going to let any sand get in his eyes, because he certainly will. He let some sand get in Jesus' eyes. His name was Judas. He let an Ahithophel get into David's circle and betray him, and he's going to let betrayers get into your life. But don't think God is sitting there dispassionate about your pain. He'd like you to bring your complaint to him. Just don't bring it to everyone else. He'd like you not, in your perplexity, to despair. And he wants you to know, in time, he's going to take care of these issues. Trust him. And isn't that how this ends? What great words to end with. Verse 23. But even all these things, and whenever God does it, it's not resolved, but I'm trusting God. I will trust in you. Flying back from a speaking engagement somewhere, and it was long. I had multiple stops. I was at the airport, dropped off the rental cars, one of those big rental car complexes where you have all the buses and all these cars, like half a mile or a mile from the airport where everyone has to go to get a rental car. Return the rental car, and it was like underground where you finally had to get your shuttle to the airport terminal. And I came out, had luggage because it was a long trip, had my carry-on. I come out of the door and I think, oh, fantastic. It was right out of the door. Here was a shuttle bus and the doors were open. And it was great. I walked right into it, right off the curb, threw my stuff, my heavy luggage into the luggage rack, plopped down into the chair. I thought, good, I got a good seat. It's right by the door. Fantastic. And I sat there. And I sat there. And I finally stood up and looked to see, realized no one else is in this bus, and there's no bus driver in the seat. I was embarrassed. I looked around, looked through the windows of the bus, realized that you had to cross the street to get into the shuttle buses that were actually going somewhere. So I sheepishly took my luggage out, went across the street, got to that curb. I don't know why they do that, but there it was. Got in that one, looked to make sure there was a bus driver. There was a bus driver. Threw my luggage in there. The doors eventually closed, and off to the terminal I went. The intuitive response to us being betrayed is to get really angry, to share our anger with people, to vindictively build an alliance, to think that somehow I got to tell the story and I got to finish and settle the score myself. I mean, that's the open door. You walk out of your painful season of betrayal. You want to get in that, but it's right there. Everyone else is getting in it. The problem is there's no bus driver there. It's going nowhere. Your vindictive, vengeful, angry, complaining feelings about your Judas and your Ahithophel, it doesn't work. It doesn't do anything. Stop talking about it. Get in the right bus. Sit down, shut up, and let the bus driver take you where he wants to take you. It may not happen on your schedule, but you got to trust him and stop talking about it to everyone. Trust the Lord. Take those last six words, but I will trust in you. And see, that's my mantra. I may pray some things I wouldn't want to publish in a hymnal about my betrayers, but I'm directing that complaint and I'm moaning in my pain to him. I'm not derailed by it. I'm not surprised by it. Jesus had his, David has his, I have mine. I'm not going to be dissuaded. Trust in the Lord. He'll figure this out.
An encouraging perspective from Mike Fabares for anyone facing the pain of betrayal. Here at Focal Point, we're committed to providing you with solid biblical teaching and resources to help you renew your mind through Scripture so we can have a healthy perspective through the trials and pain of daily life. And it's all made possible by listeners like you who donate to cover the cost of producing and distributing these studies. Now, if you believe our world needs more sources of uncompromising Bible teaching that never dodges the uncomfortable truths, will you stand with us by giving today? Donate online right now at focalpointradio.org. And when you donate, we'll say thanks with a copy of the beautiful ESV Illuminated Scripture Journal for the Psalms. It's got the full text of Psalms with plenty of space to record your thoughts, prayers, and observations. And the gold leaf cover makes this a lovely addition to your bookshelf. Ask for the ESV Illuminated Scripture Journal when you donate today by calling 888-320-5885. That's 888-320-5885. Or you can donate and request the book online at focalpointradio.org. And on behalf of everyone who benefits from this program, thank you. We truly could not do this without you. Now, maybe you're new to Focal Point and aren't quite ready to give just yet. Well, we'd still love to hear from you. And when you reach out, we'll send you a new booklet Pastor Mike has written called Encouraged by the Psalms. It features an in-depth look at some key passages from the Psalms, and the booklet is our free gift for you today just for getting in touch. Find it at focalpointradio.org/encouraged or call 888-320-5885 and ask for the Encouraged by the Psalms booklet. Well, I'm your host, Dave Drewy. So glad to have you with us. And be sure to come back again on Tuesday when we'll turn to the 100th Psalm for a message about heartfelt, passionate worship. We're talking about the goodness of God and how it inspires our praise. That's next time on Focal Point.
Hey there, Pastor Mike here. We're almost out of time, but before we go, I wanted to personally invite you to contact us here. Let us know how we can be praying for you. Head on over to focalpointradio.org and click the contact page.
or send me a note on Facebook, facebook.com/PastorMike, or twitter.com/PastorMike. Can't wait to hear from you.
Today's program was produced and sponsored by Focal Point Ministries.